This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
In the mid-1990s, researchers led by Dr. Julio Montaner were at the forefront of the effort to establish highly active antiretroviral therapy, HART, as the international standard of care for HIV. This revolutionary treatment has been a turning point for millions worldwide, transforming HIV infection into a chronic, manageable condition, while dramatically increasing life expectancy.
The use of HART in British Columbia has led to significant decreases in the number of AIDS-related deaths, alongside improved clinical outcomes for thousands of patients. Furthermore, in British Columbia, HART has practically eliminated the risk of HIV transmission from expectant mothers to their unborn children.
There is, however, much more work to be done to stop HIV/AIDS. We're joined on the phone by Dr. Julio Montaner, who is director of the British Columbia Center for Excellence in HIV/AIDS. Welcome to People First Radio.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Julio, tell us about HART, how it works, and why it works.
HIDE, as you pointed out, is the short name for Highly Active Antiretroviral Therapy. Back in the early days of the epidemic, we started developing new drugs for treating people with HIV, and necessarily these drugs emerged one at a time. They had the ability to interfere with the ability of the virus to multiply itself in the cells of people infected with HIV. This inhibition of the virus was only partial, and therefore, upon starting treatment, people would be better off for a period of time, but unfortunately, the disease process would eventually resume because the virus had the ability to overcome the effect of the medications. We adopted, I guess because of my background on tuberculosis and other related diseases, we adopted an approach similar to that of tuberculosis in that we felt that combining more than one drug should have additive effect against the virus, and eventually we were hoping to get some sort of synergy going between drugs. And through a period of time, trial and error kind of thing, to our surprise, really, in 1995, we hit gold, so to speak, and we found a triple drug combination that was able to, if taken appropriately, shut down the replication of the virus nearly 100% of the time in a sustainable fashion. We brought that forward to the world at the Vancouver International AIDS Conference that took place in the summer of 1996. And because we had an in on this, British Columbia was the first jurisdiction probably in the world that adopted this new treatment. As a result, within a year, and even before the full results of our studies were published, we amazed ourselves with decreases in the death rate from AIDS in British Columbia among people engaged in care by greater than 85%.
You just finished a term as president of the International AIDS Society, and in that role you gave opening remarks at the 18th International AIDS Conference in July 2010. In your comments, Julio, you said the following: "I cannot hide my profound disappointment and deep frustration with the recently concluded G8 G20 meetings in Canada by failing to take responsibility for the Universal Access Pledge, and more importantly, for failing to articulate next steps to meet not just the sixth MDG, but all of them by 2015. The G8 has quite simply failed us." Tell us more about the international response to HIV/AIDS.
In a way, it's interesting. There are some parallels between what we have gone through in British Columbia and what the world is going through in terms of fighting HIV effectively. as I was telling you, very early on, we found out that the treatment that we had developed here at UBC and St. Paul's was highly effective. We were thrilled, and the results were incredibly gratifying. There were problems, there were challenges, there were side effects, there were complexities, etc. But nonetheless, I mean, we had turned a rapidly lethal disease into a chronic manageable condition. However, we were, and you probably noticed, I said that the decrease in mortality from AIDS was greater than 85% among individuals who were appropriately engaged in care. That's the big sort of trick here. You had to be appropriately engaged in care. And since HIV was increasingly affecting people who had other conditions, say drug addiction or mental illness or homelessness or poverty or they were living in rural isolated communities and so on and so forth, it became increasingly clear to us that this was not about just having a treatment that worked. We needed a healthcare system that would facilitate access to the treatment to those in most need. In other words, while we pride ourselves that the Canadian health system is, for the most part, available, free, and accessible, the reality is that socio-cultural dynamics make it so that repeatedly those of us that are better off have better outcomes, and those of us that are worse off, for whatever reason, have worse outcomes. And at the end of the day, it's all about being able to navigate the system. If you look at that, then it becomes clear why, over the last decade and a half, our group has worked so hard to develop programs to engage the most compromise or hard to reach individuals in our society, including injection drug users, particularly in the, isolated communities like the downtown east side or elsewhere in the province. And we were very fortunate that the provincial government has been very insightful and very helpful in that regard. Contrary to that, the federal government continues to take a very regressive approach to these matters, and not surprisingly, as the leader of the G8, Stephen Harper, basically extrapolated his negative attitude towards these public health issues to the worldwide scene, and this is very frustrating. Back in the day, the global community had made a commitment, starting in 2001, but certainly confirmed in 2005, that by 2010, the G8 countries will work towards ensuring universal access to treatment, care, and prevention for all of the individuals infected with HIV in the south of the world, that is, developing countries, particularly Africa, but also Asia and Latin America. At one point, this was felt to be an insurmountable task, but the truth is that we went from basically nobody taking treatment to nearly 4 million people taking treatment, which is a dramatic proof that this can be done. However, there are at least an additional 4 to 6 million people that should be on treatment. The deadline of 2010 is now gone, and the G8 has basically moved on to other promises. I often call them smoke and mirrors, and they haven't even told us how are they going to address the AIDS gap that remains unresolved. This is particularly troublesome, because in the period since they originally made that promise, which, by the way, was largely a compassionate commitment on the part of the G8 to try to protect societies from falling apart, which at the end will have repercussions in our own societies, because having African countries falling apart will only generate further civil unrest around the world. But nonetheless, this was regarded as a doing the right thing for the honorable and right causes and helping people and protecting societies. But while that was happening, again, our group here at UBC led the charge in trying to evaluate the secondary preventive value of antiretroviral therapy. In other words, the same cocktail that we developed back in 1996, we now realize, as you pointed out in the introduction, that not only can prevent nearly 100% of the transmission episodes from a mother infected with HIV to the unborn child, so that the child will be born without HIV, and the mother will be alive and well to see the child graduate through university, if she so wishes, but in addition, treatment effectively used can decrease transmission from all routes, whether it's sexual or injection drug use, etc. And we have postulated, in fact, we wrote a landmark paper in The Lancet some years ago, 2006, if I remember correctly, where we argued that if we were to treat in a given jurisdiction 100% of people infected with HIV, which is, of course, a bit of a challenge, but nonetheless, if you were to offer treatment and effectively treat 100% of the people infected with HIV, you could see the elimination of the HIV epidemic from that jurisdiction within one generation. So what I'm trying to say is that what it was a sort of a palliative, a compassionate promise on the part of the G8 and the United Nations groups has now turned out to be the exit strategy, the way to control the epidemic, and yet, despite the fact that we have demonstrated that the value of what they had promised has gone up many, many, many fold, we see our own political leaders backing away from it and say, you know what, we're not interested, we're moving on.
This is CHLY.ca, CHLY 101.7 FM. You're listening to People First Radio.
Drug resistance, adverse effects to medication, and barriers to accessing treatment and maintaining adherence are just a few of the many issues facing those who are HIV positive. More importantly, people are still dying from the disease. Now a new program called Seek and Treat for Optimal Prevention of HIV/AIDS, or Stop HIV/AIDS, will expand access to HIV/AIDS medications among hard-to-reach and vulnerable populations in Vancouver's downtown East Side and Prince George, British Columbia. We're joined on the phone by physician and director of the British Columbia Center for Excellence in HIV/AIDS, Dr. Julio Montaner.
Dr. Montaner, please briefly just tell us more about the STOP project, a real brief description.
Yes, so based on the background that we discussed so far, we have successfully engaged the provincial government, the Premier, Gordon Campbell, the former Minister of Health, Kevin Falcon, and their officials in a discussion of how to move these issues forward in British Columbia. And in the short term, what we have agreed to do is to deploy additional resources in the downtown east side and Prince George in particular, but not at the exclusion of the rest of the province, of course, so that we can make an extra effort to, I would say, in short, identify people who are HIV positive, who may not know that HIV positive, and then once we identify them, that's the sick part of the program, offer them facilitated access to treatment. So we call this the Seek and Treat. We feel that people out there, in fact, the data supports the notion that people out there are still dying from HIV and AIDS because they are not accessing treatment in an early fashion, in a timely fashion. And so what we want to do is get rid of that problem by going out and facilitating access to testing and treatment. And in doing so, we have every expectation that the secondary benefit of that will be to decrease HIV transmission in our communities.
This is a new project. What are the results of the work that's been done thus far? What has happened?
Well, we have progressively expanded antiretroviral therapy in the province starting about 5 years ago. So we have preliminary data that was actually published in The Lancet this summer to substantial interest around the international community. And what we have shown, in short, is that every time that we expand the number of people on antiretroviral therapy or HART, highly active antiretroviral therapy, in British Columbia, we have a proportional decrease in the number of new infections, let alone the fact that we also see a proportional decrease in the number of people getting sick or dying from HIV. So as the Premier likes to remind me, this is a 3P investment. It's good for the patients infected with HIV, is good for the public health effort in that it decreases HIV transmission, and it's also good for the public purse because investing a little bit more on access to treatment actually is cost averting. It's saving us wastage of money in the public health environment down the road. And in fact, because it saves us from new infections, it has a very significant impact on the expenditure on HIV treatment down the road.
We have just one moment left, Doctor. Is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation today?
Well, if I may, I would like to encourage everybody that has been sexually active in the last 30 years to go ahead and get an HIV test, because the only way that we can be sure that you are not HIV positive is that people have confirmed that with a test. In doing so, you will help us to fix what it is a significant problem. Approximately 25% of the people that are HIV infected in this province are not aware that they're HIV infected. So go ahead and get tested. Most people will turn out to be negative. Those that are HIV positive, we have a way to work with you to make things a lot better, and we are really looking forward to do that.
Thank you very much for the work you're doing and for taking the time to join us today. It was very much appreciated.
You're most welcome.
Dr. Julio Montaner is the director of the British Columbia Center for Excellence in HIV/AIDS, the chair in AIDS research, and head of Division of AIDS in the Faculty of Medicine at University of British Columbia, and is the past president of the International AIDS Society.
Julio Montaner's recent research has been primarily focused on the implementation of the Seek and Treat for Optimal Prevention of HIV/AIDS, or Stop HIV/AIDS initiative, which will utilize HIV treatment as an HIV prevention strategy in British Columbia. The initiative seeks to drastically decrease HIV-related morbidity and mortality in the province.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.